Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man whose mother still thinks he should try to get a real job.
Dear folks, I got this great job in a gas station. I don't want to say how much I'm getting, but let's just say it's a lot. I'm enclosing $2.
That's a good boy.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here. John Fox is here. John is an original founding member of our Brain Trust. I don't know what we'd do without him after all these years. Coming up on our 14th anniversary later this year as a member of our Brain Trust. He's a former tax attorney. He's currently professor of economics and of tax policy, I guess it is, at Mount Holyoke College in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And he's the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax, which I always recommend to you. And he's our good friend, John Fox. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. God, it's been 14 years.
Coming up. Yeah.
Well, it's been great fun, a great pleasure for me to join you.
Well, it's been our honor and our great benefit to have you and your brain power here on the show. John,
can I just throw out just one thing you might enjoy that your prior guest might like? I was just thinking about this. We saw a bumper sticker in California that said, "My wife doesn't think I listen to her," or something like that. I thought it was perfect. Anyway.
We were talking about, in the previous segment, we were talking about cross-dominant and people who are linear who don't listen to anybody. John, we're going to talk about tax reform in a little bit, but before we do, this is a tax-related issue. This week, Bank of America announced, probably with a great deal of pressure from the government, that they're going to forgive mortgage balances for a certain class of folks, certain number of people, depending on how they fit into don't know what all the criteria is. There, I know some of them, but it doesn't matter. Some people are going to get an average of $150,000 forgiveness on their mortgage. So if they owe $200, $300, they're going to lop an average of $150 off of that. Some people will get less, some people will get more, but it's an average, I read, of $150. Now, here's my question to you, Mr. Tax Expert.
Okay.
In my experience, my knowledge is that whenever you're forgiven of debt, the IRS considers that a taxable event, and as if you were paid that in income, and they're going to want you to pay taxes on that. Now, tell me where I'm wrong.
Well, you could practice tax law. You're right. You're right. The forgiveness of a legal obligation is considered income. And so if, in fact, somebody who obviously has the hardship of being underwater with their house, mm-hmm. their mortgage is worth more than their house, but they will have little resources probably. If they're forgiven their indebtedness, which they want, unless Congress also enacts something that makes that forgiveness not taxable, they'll have $150,000 of taxable income on their return.
Right, right. Which could be more expensive to them than paying their mortgage.
I know. I think that's why somebody's going to race to Congress and say, "Look, you've got to help these people."
But
if you think they're underwater now, watch them try to swim
exactly.
up to the top.
But yes. But John, this is going to have to be dealt with one way or the other. And see, that to me, this is a classic example of when politicians look at a situation, they only see the political expediency. They don't see the chess game, the cause and effect chess game that plays out below the surface. And then they rush around here making these promises, these commitments, they have their righteous indignation, and then they try to pass a bunch of laws to patch all this up, and it just creates a big problem. And when they just really should have stayed out of it. What do you think?
Well, I think I agree with you. And you know, we've been talking, I guess, for all these 14 years about tax policy and how instead of it being based upon rational criteria of fairness and simplicity
right.
and economic growth, it has become just a political football. So the really horrible set of affairs in tax policy, you know, also is true in a whole range of government action.
Right.
You know, the awful truth about it is that we used to have a Congress when we were younger that was very imperfect, but both sides could talk to each other and they could be much more responsible. Our
right.
debt, our national debt was controllable. We tended to pay for wars, or remember, as Eisenhower said, Eisenhower, remember, kept the top tax rate at 90% when he was president,
yeah.
8 years, because he said we have to pay off the war debt. Now, 90% mm-hmm. is too high. We know that's too high,
John,
but
hold,
a Republican.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break,
right.
folks. Come back and talk more about tax reform after these messages. 20 Tales, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.